we're talking about serving Hashem with that koach, with that quality that's called Malchus, the kingdom. Malchus, and what Malchus means. And the Ramak defined that one of the main components of this quality of Malchus is a sense of anius, the one feeling oneself to be absolutely empty and poor. And we spoke about this already at great length. And we're going to continue talking about this tonight before we can come to a discussion of David HaMelech and the Beis HaMikdash, which hopefully by next week we'll be able to start. At the end last week, we discussed the Gemara. This is really this remarkable Gemara. I'm not sure if all of you were here last week, so I'll just mention the Gemara again very quickly. The Gemara tells us that the leader of the generation, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, went to Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. At one point, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was seeing the Rebbe. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's student, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a son who was very, very ill. And he asked Hanina ben Dosa to daven for the child, and it says in the Gemara that Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa put his head down between his knees, and he was davening, and the child was better. And the reaction of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to this was that even if I would do this all day, I would put my head down between my knees and daven all day, I wouldn't be answered. So when his wife heard this, the wife was a bit upset, and the wife said, "Does this mean that Hanina, your student, is greater than you are?" As you're saying, in effect, that his power of tefillah, his power of davening, is greater than yours. You wouldn't be answered, and he was answered. So Rebbetzin Yochanan ben Zakkai was asking, "Does that mean that he's greater than you?" He said, "No." Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "No. The difference is that he is like an eved. I'm like a sar before the king. I'm like one of the ministers of the king, and he is a servant of the king." That was his response. Rashi explains that a servant comes in and out whenever he needs to. A minister has to make an appointment, obviously. A minister can't just walk in and out. But the servant is always there with drinks and back and forth and, you know, information and so on. The servant is coming back and forth. And we spoke about that at the end last week. What does that have to do with tefillah? What does that answer mean? And we were talking about the fact that the Eved is a person who in every single moment of his life, feels a dependency upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feels a need to attach himself to Hashem, feels empty and feels lost and feels a sense of servitude. Because of that, tefillah is called Chayei Shoah, life of the moment, life of the hour that I spoke about at the end. Life of the hour means that tefillah is not just Shachris, a Mincha, a Maariv. Tefillah is not just a Musaf or a Shoni Yom Kippur. The essence of tefillah is that the servant, the one who is truly an Eved of Hashem, the one who truly serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at any moment, and we're going to talk more about that today, at any moment of his or her life, the person feels a need to share his or her problems or joys or sadness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and feels comfortable. Remember we spoke last week about that the Ramak is telling us that tefillah has this power to draw the Shechina into our lives, to connect to the Shechina. We spoke about the Chasna Kala and so on. Right? So the Shechina is attached to us mostly in a very powerful way through tefillah. So we try to understand, what does that mean? What does the Shechina have to do? What is Shechina exactly? And we explain that Shechina means when a person feels an intimate relationship with Hashem, when you feel very close to Hashem, that's the description of that relationship is Shechina. We're in touch with the Shechina. So the Eved, despite his lowlier position, the servant is always connected to the king, always has that need to speak to the king and is in touch with the king every moment. Therefore, tefillah is called Chayei Shoah, life of the moment, because it means every little thing in your life. Whereas, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai referred to himself as a sar, as a minister, as a nobleman, and he said that in Torah, what he's saying is that he was the master of Torah of the generation, so the explanation for that is, as Rabbi Tzaddik explained, that when it comes to learning of Torah, when it comes to who's greater in the study of Torah, then the one who is the one who has more understanding, the one who is greater, the one who is deeper, the one who is more advanced, that makes him more of a minister, more of a sar, more of a master of Torah. But when it comes to davening of tzaddik, says it's davka the one who's lacking more, the one who's lacking, the one who, the poorer somebody is, that doesn't mean that the guy's a God forbid, somebody who's, you know, good for nothing, worthless, chas v'shalom. But it means the more one senses an absence of, a lack of self, the more one leans towards self-annihilation, the more one is in the world of the unni, of the poor man, the more he's attaching himself in closeness to the Shekhinah, because the more poverty one senses, the more dependence there is upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the greater the need there is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we were talking about at the end last week. Now we're going to continue tonight to explain this Gemara. Somebody last week, actually during the week, one of the chaver called me just to ask if I could bring this a little bit more down to a simple level. It was I was flying a little bit too high, and to bring it down to a simple level. So tonight, I'm going to try to mamish make this very, very simple, to use very simple way before we go into Dover Mouth that's going to become complicated again. So tonight is just to relax and to learn something on a very, very basic and simple level. In other words, the same thing. I'm not changing the subject. It's the exact same thing. I'm just trying to take it down to a level that we could all relate to, hopefully, and we could use in a practical way. Bez Hashem, after the entire discussion of David HaMelech and Bez HaMikdash, then we'll spend a great deal of time dealing with practical aids, practical advice in this area. But I wanted tonight to bring things down to a very simple level. Not when I say simple, we're not talking here about intellectually. One has to think just as hard, but it means to demystify the subject and make it very pashut. So let's talk about this Gemara some more. The story of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa and his Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that my tefillah, if I would have davened all day for my son, it wouldn't have worked because I am a minister before the king. And Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is a servant of the king, therefore his tefillos were answered. So there's an explanation that's found in the writings of one of the great Bali Musa in recent generations, Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger, Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser, was one of the great students of Rabbi Sol Salanter. So Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger explains, he says a very beautiful thing. To understand this point on a simple level, Rabbi Yitzchak says that the Eved and the Tsar, both the servant and the minister, serve the king with great devotion, with great Mesiris Nefesh. They're both very devoted. Nevertheless, if one of them would need something, the likelihood, Rabbi Yitzchak says, the likelihood, if one of them would need something, would ask for something, the likelihood is that the servant would be answered, not the minister. Now that's very, unreasonable, illogical, irrational. So Bitzel explains a beautiful thing. He says the difference between the Tsar, between the minister and the Eved, and the servant, is despite the fact that they both love the king and they're devoted to the king, there's in the relationship, the Tsar, the minister, benefits greatly from being a Tsar. First of all, he's very respected in the kingdom. He'll probably get great shidduchim for his kids. In terms of clothing and prestige and money, probably has a beautiful home. When he's doing a good job, I'm sure the king gives him some extra perks and bonuses and things. I mean, he's a minister. He's a Tsar. It's a chashuv job, and he does well. Anybody who's a Tsar, it's a good job. But the Eved is an ish poshut. He's a simple person. He's like a little schlepper. And he runs around back and forth. As far as prestige is concerned, he gets none at all. I mean, he's not somebody that's looked up to most likely when people come into the palace, when ministers and dignitaries come to the palace, they probably speak disrespectfully to him or make fun of him or something. He gets, in other words, there's very little in the job for him. It's not like a salaried worker either. He's an evid. He's a slave. He's a servant. So he gets his little, apartment somewhere on the, someplace, you know, all the way, some little place on, by the palace, on the palace grounds. But Lamaisa, the evid, his mesiris nefesh for the king is not really rewarded. Is not really rewarded. Therefore, Rabbi Tzla says, on the rare occasion, perhaps, when the evid can get up the courage to ask for something for himself, to make a personal request. So Rabbi Tzla says that the king hurries to fulfill his request. The king hurries to fulfill his request. Because that's all the evid has, the king. He only has the king. He has nothing else. He doesn't have the honor, the money, he doesn't have anything. He just has this moment of dependence, of reliance upon the king. Whereas the Tsar, if the king would not fulfill the minister's request, he still has his own sense of dignity. He still has his own money, his own belongings, and so on. So Rabbi Tzla says a very, very special thing. When we look in Chazal, we know that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the prince of the Jewish people. He was the Nasi. He was Mamash the Nasi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he referred to himself as a Tsar, as a minister, it really was true. He was a minister of the king, of Hashem. He was the prince, the leader of the Jewish people. He was the object of their adoration and their respect. And he was a very wealthy person. But Bechnimin and Doisa, the Gemara says about Bechnimin, they didn't even have bread to eat. They didn't even have oil for the candles. He said, Sha'achal ga'a kav charuv me'ab Shabbos, he was starving. The Gemara says that Bechnimin and Doisa, they were starving. Him and his wife were starving. Therefore, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying is the following. When his wife asked him, does that mean that Chanina ben Doisa is greater since his tefillah for our son was answered and yours wasn't? So does that mean that Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa is greater? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, no, it doesn't mean. It's not necessarily an indication of greatness. Just like a Tsar and an Eved, it could be that the minister is most likely more of an educated person. The minister is more of a successful person than the servant, than the Eved. But the advantage of the Eved is the fact that it's a Rachmanis, that he's poor. That he's poor and that all that he has is what the king will give him. Beyond that, he doesn't have. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who had everything in the world, was saying, my tefillos could never, ever be as effective as Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. Because Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa is so poor. Financially, and in other ways, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa was nowhere like, doesn't get the respect and everything else that I have. So because of that, since he has nothing else to rely upon, he can. It works that the king will very quickly answer his request. That the king will respond to his request. Because of course, what else does he have? What do you want from him? That's what Mitchell Paterberg has said. And this brings us to something which is so important for people like us to know. Very, very posh it. I mentioned that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was called an Eved Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person on the face of the earth. And the meaning of his humility, the meaning of Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, is that he felt, he, despite the fact that he was the Nasi, a person could be a billionaire. Could be a billionaire. But because Moshe Rabbeinu was so exceedingly humble, and he felt completely, completely dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore it's possible for him to be a Tsar and an Eved. What Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this is what I was saying to you, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying is that compared to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, I don't have that. I can never, I have not reached that point of Anias where I feel so completely, totally, totally empty without HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he does because of the state of life and the person that he is. But a person can go from time to time in different ways. One doesn't exclude the other. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was a great Tsar doesn't mean that he couldn't be because of his humility, which is a necessary quality for Malchus, it doesn't mean that he couldn't be a poor man also. All what is happening is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that compared to Rabbi Chanan ben Dosa, that's why I said compared to Rabbi Chanan ben Dosa, I am a sire of Nehem Melech, and he's an Evan before the king. Just like the Zohar makes makes the distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu, where it says Tefillah LaMoshe, the prayer of Moshe, and was by David Melech it says Tefillah LaAni. So the prayer of the poor man, compared to Moshe Rabbeinu, David Melech's poverty was greater. But it doesn't mean David Melech couldn't be the Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be an Ani also. No. So there could be different levels of Aniim. You have a person that's poor, and you have a person that has an abject poverty. You know, they're different madrigas. That's all. Is that right? So, this brings us to something that people like us have to remind ourselves about all the time. We say in davening in Ashrei, Karav Hashem l'chol karav l'chol asher yikruhu be'emes. Hashem is close to all those who call him. Karav Hashem l'chol karav l'chol asher yikruhu be'emes. To all those who call him in truth. So the Medrash asks, Yochel akol? Could it be that Hashem is close to everyone? So it's a weird question. The pasuk says, Karav Hashem l'chol karav. L'chol asher yikruhu be'emes. Hashem is close to all those who call him, to all those who call in truth. I mean, we hear that it's redundant, right? So the Medrash says, Yochel akol? Hashem is close to everybody? Talmud Lomar, yes! Because it says at the end of the pasuk, L'chol asher yikruhu be'emes. In other words, is he really close to everyone? So then the Medrash replies, well, he's close to whoever calls him in truth. And it's not everyone, you have to call him in truth. And that's what the Medrash is saying. Yochel akol? The beginning of the puzzle is Karav Hashem L'chol Karav. So the Medrash says, Yochel HaKol, everybody? Hashem's close to anyone who calls him? So the Medrash says, no, the end of the puzzle tells you, to those who call him in truth. So the question is asked, why doesn't the puzzle just say right away, Karav Hashem L'chol Asher Yikru'u Be'emes? Hashem is close to those who call him in truth. Why does the puzzle say, Karav Hashem Karav Hashem l'chol karav. Hashem is close to whoever calls him. So now we all have a question. Really? And then the other person says, no, well, l'chol ha-sheikru, but just say, Karav Hashem l'chol ha-sheikru b'amis. Just say that right away, that Hashem is close to whoever called him in truth. That's the question. It's being asked in this farm. You hear the question? It makes sense, no? Just say right away, Karav Hashem l'chol ha-sheikru b'amis. We say this puzzle every day of our lives. Karav Hashem l'chol karav, l'chol ha-sheikru b'amis. So just get to the point. Karav Hashem l'chol ha-sheikru be'emes. So it seems that the meaning of the pasuk, and this is something that comes out from the Bali Musar that I've seen in the Musa Svarim, that it seems that the meaning of the pasuk is, and what Chazal is telling us, that a person who calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu in truth, now we're going to talk about what that means. A person who calls to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who calls out to Hashem in truth, the pasuk is telling something new. Even if it's a Rasha, even if it's a wicked person, mamish, even if it's a Rasha, even if it's a person who's a Rasha, who hasn't done anything good his whole life. So, Karav Hashem l'chol karav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to all those who call to him, whether or not you're a tzaddik, you're a Rasha, Karav Hashem l'chol karav. So then Chazal is asking, Lakol? What does that mean, Lakol? What's the question really asking? Lakol. Huh? Even to Rishoyim? Hashem's close to everyone? Even to a Rasha? To somebody who's no good? To someone who's doing, his whole life's doing a virus? A person's Michal Shabbos, he's treif, whatever, and he's davening? So Karav Hashem, Lakol? So the Medrash is asking, Lakol? Hashem is good to everyone? Rishoyim also? So then the pasuk answers, yes, if they call in truth. We'll see what that means. Yes, even Rishoyim, l'chol asher yikru'u be'emes. There's a condition, l'chol, Hashem is close to everyone, even a Rasha. The t'nai, the condition is, l'chol asher yikru'u be'emes. As long as it's be'emes, as long as it's a true cry, so then it's tamalom l'chol. L'chol ha-sheikru be'emes, to everyone. I'm going to explain this. So if it's about this, give me a little time to explain. If it's still not clear, then okay. But that's now the Rebbe of Arla in his Sefer Shomer Emunah, one of the great Hasidic, self-made Hasidic masters, the son of poor people, became one of the great Hasidic rabbis of Arla. He was mamish and eved lufnei Melech, this of Arla. So the Rebbe of Arla writes in the Shomer Emunah, when it says in the Pasuk, HaBotech B'Hashem Chesed Yisovevenu, someone who trusts in Hashem is surrounded by God's kindness, it means anybody. It means a Rosh. It could mean the worst person. If he's B'Hashem B'Hashem, if he has trust in Hashem, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch, he davens to Hashem, Hashem will answer him. But Rebbe Arla proves that there is a difference between a Tzaddik and a Rosh. About how a Tzaddik is answered and how a Rosh is answered, and we'll come back to this much, much later, not tonight, but I just want to bring it up here. That there is a difference. Rabbi Arla says that when Hashem answers the tefillah of a tzaddik, Hashem's answer is one that will not only benefit the tzaddik now, but there'll be no negative side effects. You can ask for something and you can get it, and eventually, as a result of what you've gotten, which for the moment was good, it could come out something negative, right? Person could ask for money, so it could be good now, it could help you out now, but who knows, it can cause tzaros later on. A person could ask for certain shidduch, it might be nice now, but later on it could make tzaros, who knows. So when it comes to a tzaddik, Hashem will answer anyone, if it's bamis. The difference, Rabbi Arla says, that a tzaddik's, the response of a Kadosh Baruch to a tzaddik is one that is completely good. In other words, nothing bad can come from it, even in the distant future. Mashen came the Rosh, however, when it comes to the Rosh, HaKadosh Baruch will answer him now. He's calling in truth, and Hashem will give him what he's asking for, but there's no guarantee that this toiv, that this goodness that he receives now, will not ultimately cause some problems in the future. We'll come back to that. But there is a distinction between a tzaddik and a rosh, and how they're being answered by Hashem. Hashem is kar v'ashem l'chol kar, l'chol l'sheku b'amis. But it's not the same. It's not the same. There's a difference. I mean, the nature of this difference is something we'll come back to, Bez Hashem. But this is a difference. So now we can understand something. When Yaakov Avinu was telling Yosef, we spoke about this last year, at the beginning of the year, when Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, Asher lakachti miyad ha'amori, he's talking about how he got the city of Shechem. So Yaakov says, Asher lakachti miyad ha'amori b'charbi u'bekashti. How was I able to get the city of Shechem from the Amorim? But you know, that's ultimately where Yosef HaTzadik is going to end up. How am I able to get the city of Shechem? B'charbi u'bekashti. So Yaakov says, with my cherub, with my sword, and bekashti, which means with my bow and arrow. That's how I was able to acquire the place of Shechem. So the Targum, there's a famous Targum we spoke about many times. The Targum says in this, and there are many, many things in the Chassidus Svarim about this. The Targum says, translates, B'charbi u'bekashti, with my sword and with my bow. B'tzlosi v'usi, with my davening and with my beseeching. B'tfilosi, and he would be with my tefillah and my sachanunim. With my davening and my beseeching, that's how I was able to get the city of Shechem. So the tzaddikim ask, if he's talking about his davening and his crying to Hashem, then why does the Torah call it a sword and a bow? Just say, with my davening and my tefillah and my sachanunim. Why write it in such a way? B'charbi u'bekashti. So this is from the Chassidus Svarim talk a lot about this. Why is it davka called a bow and arrow and a sword? We spoke about this also with the Zohar months ago, cutting through all the koiches and so on. Before this already goes back to Pesach. Akoponim, this is the question is being asked. So why not just say plain, say poshut, tell Yosef if I was able to accomplish this with my davening? Why call it a cherev and a keshes, a sword and a bow and arrow? So in the writings of Rabbi Chaska Levenstein, the Ponovizh Mashgiach, So you can tell when I'm trying to say things in a simple way, so I bring all the Bali Musa. Because they said things mamish to the point, pashit, without anything, you know, abstract. Pashit. Pashit and true. So B'chaskel says, when is a person's tefillah? When are the tefillahs of a person, any person? We're getting to the subject of L'kol She'yikru Be'emes. We want to know that people like ourselves, we're not God forbid Rishoyim, but I'm sure that nobody here considers himself a Sadegas. So, and we're far from the Madregas of our ancestors, so in order for us to really feel connected to davening, we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to us, number one. Number two, Davke, because we're far away, we're such aniyim, we should take advantage of our poverty, no? If we're already avodim, we're servants, and everywhere in Chazal, we're being told that a servant has extraordinary power in his tefillah, so instead of becoming depressed with our lower madrega that we're on now before Mashiach comes, so let's take advantage of it. Let's learn how to take advantage of it. That's my point. Let's learn how to take advantage of it. If we're taka aniyim. And it's true, we are aniyim. All right. After all these years, we're aniyim. We're schleppers. Okay. But look, even Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself said that asar and an eved and ani, tefillah la'ani is the most powerful thing. And now I'm telling you, we're learning that you don't have to be. So you're thinking, oh, sure. So Rabbi Chini ben Dos is the ani. No. What does that do for me? So now we're going to learn that afilu rishoy mamish. Karv Hashem l'chol, karv l'chol ashekru be'emes. And we're going to learn that be'emes means with that feeling of nothingness, with that feeling of poverty, being an eved to the melech, with the koach of malchus. And what does this have to do with the sword and the bow? So Rabbi Chaskel Ebenstein explains, when is the davening of a person most acceptable? When the person believes that without my davening, nothing in the world can save me. My davening is the only thing that could really save me. Okay, I go to the doctor. I can go for a loan. V'chul. Rabbi Chaskel says that when a Jew davens, he should feel as if he's in the middle of a war, and his tefillahs are like his sword and his bow and arrow. Could you imagine a soldier? And I can tell you, my father told me that. My parents are from Hungary, and when the war started, for a while it was quiet, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, where they were from. But then the Hungarians were taking the young men away to the Hungarian army. And the Hungarians, of course, were together with the Germans, Yimach Shemam. They were lackeys of the Germans, that was it. So they were taken to the Hungarian army, so my father said that the Jews weren't allowed to carry weapons. That was the rule. They weren't allowed to carry weapons. So what were they supposed to be doing? You know, like carrying and doing and stuff, but they were supposed to be getting, things were going on all around, my father said. This was before they were taken to the concentration camp. So he said that they weren't allowed to carry weapons. They weren't allowed to touch weapons. So can you imagine how terrifying it is to be in a war? The only thing that's more terrifying being in a war is if you're in a war without anything to protect yourself, no? There's no kli neshek, a person doesn't have any weapon. So Chaskel says that a Jewish person in this world in life, especially Davke now, at the end of time, has to feel that without his davening he's lost. He has to feel like a soldier in the midst of a battlefield, and all he has, his cherev and his keshes, means he has his Shemoneh Esrei, he has his Kriyashma, he has his Tehillim, and without that he'd be mamish lost, that's the Tefillah La'ani. And that's how Rabbi Chaskel explains when it says in the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan said, not Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan the Amora said, Halavai, the Loshon is Halavai she'ispalel kol hayom kulo. Halavai, if only a person could daven the entire day. As Rabbi Yochanan was talking about the greatness of davening, he said, Halavai, a person should be able to daven the whole day. So Rabbi Chaskel explains, what does Rabbi Yochanan mean, Halavai, a person should be able to daven the whole day? So he said, Halavai, a person should feel that every moment of his life, he's lost without tefillah. He has mamish nothing without tefillah. And the same way that a soldier can't be separated from his weapons, even for a moment, so a Jewish person can't be separated from his tefillahs. That's his klei zayin, that's his weapon, no matter what he's going through. Therefore, Rav Chazka says, that we'll talk about this more later on, that all of war, living in this world separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not having the clarity and the difficult, all the difficulties we have with the Yetzirah and our environment and so on, it's mamish a time of a milchama. It's mamish like being during a war. It's like living during a war. Therefore, he says, Chazal were misakin for us, tefillahs for all different things, a tefillah l'derech. You go out for a trip, there's a tefillah. There's a davening when you go into the Bis Medrash, and so on. Every different thing in life is accompanied with a tefillah. Because this world is a milchama. The world, life is a milchama. Is a war. And the weapon of a Jewish person is his tefillahs. And that goes back to what happened when we stood at the Yom Sof. I don't want to go into this right now. It's a whole long discussion. Also in the writings of Rabbi Yeruchim from Mir. About when the Jewish people were at Yom Sof. So they were screaming, they were davening to Hashem. Ben Yaakov established Marv. And this is like the weapon or the craft of the Jewish people that when they're in trouble, They daven. So the Jewish people at Yom Sof, we know that they were surrounded on all sides, they had nowhere to go. So what did they do? So they davened in the way of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Rabbi Yochanan has a whole long explanation, but the basic point is, when you look in the Torah, you see that the Avos davened spontaneously, right? They davened when things happened. It wasn't just a question that Avram established the Shachris, Yitzchak, and Mincha. The Ovis davened, they were like Avodim that brought the Chayisha, life of the moment. Whatever was going on in their lives, they brought back to Hashem, they reported. And that was their davening. Because the Ovis felt so deeply and so clearly how every single moment of life, a person stands in a certain way on the brink of destruction. It's not a pleasant thing to think of. But you know, you'll hear a story, somebody left the house and everything was fine. Everything is great. Then you come home and you hear some terrible, terrible story that, who knows, there was, God forbid, a car accident and that person, Khalil. And you were just talking to that person. And that person heard a story the day before about somebody else. Always, of course, each one imagines that it would never be me. Every step we take in life is mamish an eist tzara. It's an eist tzara. We just don't realize it. Every single step in ruchnis and gashmis, which we'll talk about spiritually and physically, it's mamish an eist tzara. Therefore, a Jewish person lives in this eist tzara, in this time of distress and fear. He lives continuously with that weapon of tefillah. Knowing that although, of course, I work and I go to the doctor if I'm not well and so on, but be'etzim in truth, this is what it means to call in truth. It means that I believe that really, really the solution lies in my tefillah. And if I'm zochah with my tefillah, Hashem will send a good doctor as a shliach, as a messenger, or Hashem will send me the parnasa through somebody as a good shliach, as a good messenger. But to the extent that I'm poor, meaning I'm an eved that believes that ultimately all that I'm going to have is if the king gives it to me, that's what it means. The chol sheyikruv be'emes. Therefore, the chacham were misakin for us that we should daven just like the others, and so we should, aside from shachas mincha marv, we should daven when things happen to us. Chlal through the day when things are. They say about the brisker rav. So I'm giving you the Afghan example of someone that wasn't a chassidish rebbe. About the brisker rav, Rav Velvula Soloveitchik, the brisker rav. He was constantly davening. When he'd be talking to people, somebody would be asking him for advice, he would say, Lishu also kivisi Hashem, Lishu also kivisi Hashem. He used to be saying all the time, Hashem, I long for your salvation. So one explanation of that, of course, to say that Rav Velvula was always attached to Hashem. That's dveikus to Hashem. Complete attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, continuously, you know, shivisi Hashem, like the Asamid, continuously mumbling tefillahs. That's one way of saying it, but I think we learn much more from another way. I have a different understanding, not to say it's like this or like that, we don't know, but I think it means maybe something else. Just remember the story. I'm trying to remember who the tzaddikim were. It was one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, who was taught to blow the shofar. The regular Baal Tokeya, the one who used to blow the shofar, the Baal Shem Tov, died. And this tzaddik was given the job. You know, to be a Baal Tokeya for the Baal Shem Tov, yeah, it's pretty good. So this person was given the job, and the Baal Shem Tov stayed up with him for nights and nights, teaching him all the Kabbalistic Kavanas, all the Kabbalistic Yichudim, the unifications, and so on. For Shofar, which is one of the most amazing mitzvahs. So the Baal Shem Tov taught him all these things. You know, all the Arizal's Kavanas. Shofar. And then it came time before blowing the Shofar, and the student came running over to the Baal Shem Tov crying, that he doesn't remember anything. He doesn't have it. He just doesn't remember the whole thing. He lost it. He was nervous. He can't do it. And he was crying. So the Baal Shem Tov told him not to worry. The Baal Shem Tov told him the whole point of all the kavanas of the Arizal is just that a Jewish heart should be broken. But your heart is so broken that you forgot the Kavanas. It's just the same thing. That was the point of all the Kabbalistic unifications, just that you should be brokenhearted. So you should be able to enter into Hashem's presence as an ani, as a poor man. So who's a poorer man than you? You're so tzibrochen, Nebuch, that I spent the whole week teaching you Kavanas every night, and you don't remember anything, so you're so tzibrochen. He saw he was devastated. So go blow the shofar. That's all it is. It's just to bring you to a point of a lev nishba v'nidke l'kim le'sivze, that Hashem doesn't turn away a heart that's oppressed, that's broken. So now we can understand, we can begin to understand, that one of the 10 lashonas, there are 10 words, according to Chazal, there are 10 terms that are used to describe tefillah. Not describe, there are 10 terms for davening. Rina and Shava and Naka and so on, Tzaka. There's a whole sefer written on these 10 lashonas. The sefer is called the Shara Tefillah from the Be'er Mayim Chaim, an amazing sefer. One of the 10 lashonas of tefillah, one of the 10 terms in Tanakh for davening, is Bitsur. Beis Yud Tzadik Vav Resh Bitsur. It says in Tehillim Yud Ches. But tsar li ekra Hashem. Tsar, now with an ayin. Tsar, what does it mean, tsar? We're now in Ben HaMitzarim, right? This time of the year is Ben HaMitzarim. What does it mean? Narrow. Tsar means when you're stuck. Yonosi b'chag v'hasela. Hashmi is kolech. You know, you're stuck in a narrow place. You're stuck, you're in trouble. Tsar means you're in trouble. You're in a narrow place. Ben HaMitzarim. It's Ben HaMitzarim. Batzar li yekra Hashem. The Dovid HaMelech says, Batzar li yekra Hashem. So we understand now that tsar means an ace tsara, that you feel tsar is connected to the word tsara. Tsara. Tsara is not a problem. It's much more serious than just a problem. It's a dilemma. Real dilemma. So since we've learned that the whole Indian of Malchus, this whole way of serving Hashem as an Eved and Malchus, the Yisod of it is Tefillah L'Ani, the prayer of the poor person. So we understand that calling out to Hashem in an Eis Tzara, that's the essence of Tefillah. That's why this is one of the Lashonis of Tefillah, is Bitsur, is Batsar, to feel that you're in an Eis Tzara. To feel that you're stuck somewhere. To feel that you're in trouble. To feel that you're that.
The rest of this shiur was unfortunately not recorded.